The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you a question, and as best as you can, I'm going to say a phrase, and as best as you can, try to be honest about the first thing that comes to your mind, the first feeling, the first image, the first words, and try not to filter. Okay? Ready? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. What's the first thing that came to your mind? Yes. God? Anyone else? Yes. Enlightenment? Passion or action? New life. Guidance. Anyone, what came to them surprised them? The thing that came to you that was very surprising, like, no, that can't be, but I'm thinking of the Holy Spirit. Did anyone? No? So if I would ask more people, we would have actually many, many more manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's the feast we celebrate today. Earlier we had a meeting with Cambria, and Cambria, you said it so well. You need poetry to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't prepare poetry. But I prepared something else. Maybe three images, at least to me in recent time, what the Holy Spirit can be. And these images are not exhaustive at all. Hopefully they might help trigger your own imagination with the Holy Spirit. And then the second part of the homily, we will talk about how do we interact and let the Holy Spirit come alive, or even better, in Jesus' words, how do we receive the Holy Spirit in our life every day? So unlike in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus, in doing his baptism, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. But I think I agree with the Celtic imagination. In the Celtic image for the Holy Spirit is not a timid dove, but a wild goose. In fact, a pack of goose, of geese. Wild geese are wild. That is untamed, uncontrollable. They make a lot of noise, and they have a habit of biting those who try to contain or capture them. Like a wild goose, the Holy Spirit cannot be tamed or contained. And God always unexpect and confound our imagination. And this has been the Christian experience over the past 2,000 years. specifically in today's gospel. How did Jesus came to the disciples in today's gospel? They were afraid, locked in fear. The hopes of what it means to be a church, to be follower of God, is completely destroyed, if not turned upside down. They thought that the Messiah would go and come and solve everything. In fact, he was crucified, humiliated, and instead of having new life, they feel so afraid. You don't need to say very much. Some parts of our church and our faith, we feel this way. We feel sometimes that we are locked in fear. And this is how Jesus confounds them. He comes and he breathes peace on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the amazing thing about wild geese is that they are among the most communal of creatures. Not only they fly in a V formation so they could have better aerodynamics, they change position in leadership. And you know what happens when some geese are hurt or wounded or shot down? The pack continue flying, but one or two other geese go down with the one that's wounded or tired and nurses him or her. And if that geese is able to fly back, or if that geese dies, then these two accompanying geese will join the formation and they will continue again. And that's what St. Paul talks about in the second reading. We all have different gifts, but we move together. We move together when one of us is hurt, and we move together in a common mission. And all the gifts that are given is meant to build up, as St. Paul says, the body of faith, the community of faith. And so, the first image I offer you is that the Holy Spirit is like a pack of wild goose, uncontrollable, communal, always surprising. The second one is the Holy Spirit is like a pilot light. We won't see the Easter candle burnt every Mass again. But sometimes we think that having the Holy Spirit, we have to have this fantastic wind and all this fire, and we have to be alive all the time. Absolutely. Yes, the Holy Spirit is, the Pentecost is an event, but it's also the presence of the Spirit is something ongoing, like a pilot light. And sometimes in our lives, we don't have it together. Sometimes in our life, in our community, we don't feel it. We don't live it. In fact, we may not even have the desire for peace or for forgiveness or joy or perseverance or the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Spirit, like a pilot light, in our homes, we don't always use our furnaces. They don't always turn on, but the pilot light needs to be on. The third one, an image that actually has come to me a lot in the past 3 years, is the Holy Spirit is like breath. Do you and I need breath to live? Do we make breath happen? Do we? We have to breathe. We participate in breathing, but we don't make breath happen, but we need to breathe. And every time you and I take a deep breath, we're not only receiving oxygen and nitrogen and whatever is in the air, we are receiving that which gives life. And the same Spirit, Ruah, in the book of Genesis that blows over the chaotic waters of creation to create orders. That's the same spirit that Jesus in today's gospel breathed over fearful, afraid apostles to breathe new life into them. And we take breath for granted. And yet, without breath, we cannot live. Also, you know, these days, there's so many scientific studies says that meditation is good for your, not only good for your spiritual health, it's good for your mental health, it's good for your physical health. And you know, psychologists or other life coaches, do you know what they say when we get depressed or we get overwhelmed? What do they say? Take a breath. Breathe. 3 times, 5 times, 7 times. It's not an accident, sisters and brothers. It's so simple, and yet in my life, it's so profound. Oftentimes in meetings when I'm stuck, I close my eyes and I breathe, and people who work with me, it's like, oh, what is Father Tree doing? Is he constipated? Is he stuck? No, because I'm like, heck, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I'm getting so agitated by these people. I need to breathe. I need to find you. And whenever I go into a meeting or conversation, wanting to give my peace, wanting to give my wisdom, wanting to speak my voice, you know what happens? I get agitated and I don't listen. And I wait for the opportunity and jump in and tell them what I think it should be. And yet it's very different when I go into a meeting and a conversation and I'm like, Lord, where are you in this? Let me listen, let me follow you. So I do close my eyes and I do breathe, because literally receiving God's Spirit, it's so simple, and I forget it all the time. And yes, Pentecost is an event. It's an event of the church, and it's an event of the outpouring of the Spirit. But it's also a profound reality that you and I have God's Spirit, period. Even if we stop participating in our breathing, there's still life. Even if we are not open or fearful, God's Spirit is still present. And this is something that we don't always believe. And when we say, it's good to say, Lord, send us your Spirit. Yes, but it doesn't mean that the Spirit is out there somewhere. The whole Easter season, the whole Jesus resurrection, is that Jesus makes God's home in us permanently. Permanently in the Holy Spirit. And every time we breathe, we participate in this. Every time we remember, we have the spark of the Spirit. Every time we are surprised by wow geese events in our life that surprises us, it is of the Spirit. And we need to pray, Lord, send us your Spirit, meaning, can I participate more in your Spirit? Can your Spirit take over and lead the other weird spirits in my life of despair, of comparison, of unforgiveness? And so Jesus, in today's gospel, and this, as we moved into ordinary time, invites us to receive the Holy Spirit. One very practical way, St. Paul says, no one can say the name of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. I know we say the name of Jesus Christ in vain a lot of times. We do. But even if we do, take a pause. Even that is a wake-up call. And so even if we don't feel the Spirit, even if we don't believe that we have the Spirit, even Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, help me. That itself is invoking the Spirit. breathing. I invite us actually every day. We wake up, or in the middle of the day, or when we're really stressed, or when we're about to blow up at our parents because they don't understand us, or when we're about to our children. Take those 7 deep breaths. May I receive your spirit. And that itself will be peace. And even take breath when we breathing heals. And before we can truly forgive, enough healing needs to take place. So when Jesus says, receive my spirit, the spirit of peace, the spirit of forgiveness, we have the sisters and brothers. We have the spirit. It's given and it's ours. And every time we gather every Sunday and we receive the Eucharist and we receive the spirit from one another, we are reminded of that reality, that the pilot light of God's love, our spirit, is with us. That the spirit who gives more life every time we breathe, every time we call out the name of Jesus, every time we invite God to come and be the peace and the forgiveness we do not see. And every time we are surprised by the wild geese experiences in our lives. Yes, we may leave here on fire with the Holy Spirit. Fantastic, that's great. We could also leave here steady confidence that every moment in my life, every time I take a breath, every time I engage strange, surprising, out of the ordinary situation, an opportunity to encounter God's Spirit. This is what St. Paul says, we are God's indwelling. Do you believe that whatever you imagine to be the Holy Spirit, it is already your gift, regardless of how much sin or addiction or being stuck? And do you believe you can participate in this Spirit, starting with calling Jesus' name, starting with breathing, but especially simply, Lord, help me to receive your Spirit. May we become a people of Pentecost that is an event that sends us out to speak God's love in the way people understand. May we also be a people growing confidence that God's Spirit is with us forever. And the same Spirit could help us to recognize, to love, to promote peace, to begin to forgive others. May Pentecost be a deepened reality and a transforming event in our lives.